Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. In this episode, I speak about supplements. It's all about supplements, and I'm talking to my really good friend and colleague, Mike Matthews, who's the owner of Legion Athletics. Now, one of the most common questions I get every day, multiple times a day, is what supplements do I take and what supplements do I recommend? Now, if you followed me even for a brief period of time, you know I'm not a big supplement guy. I've never been a big supplement guy. I really don't think the vast majority of supplements are worthwhile, but there are several supplements, a handful of supplements that I think are very beneficial. Some of them because there's legitimate physiological improvements that happen as a result of it, and others just the convenience of them. I also think quality does play a role in it as well, which is why I work with Mike. I'm a big fan of Mike, and I'm a huge fan of Legion Athletics and why I've supported them for years. So I wanted to have Mike on the podcast to talk to him about Legion Athletics and to talk about certain supplements and really some of the most important supplements that I use every day or every week that have helped me with my fitness and my health as well. So in this podcast, we're going to go over all of my favorite supplements, or at least a handful of my favorite supplements, and some of the science behind them so you can understand whether or not they're a good fit for you. And if you want, in the description of this podcast, I'm going to put a link that you can use if you want to get 20% off your first Legion Athletics order. With that said, let's get to the episode and meet Mike. I'm going to give a brief introduction when I do the introduction for this podcast, but do you just want to tell people like who you are and what you do and a little bit about like Legion Athletics?
Yeah. So yeah, this is the, it's funny when people ask me, I'm sitting in a plane or something. Oh, so what do you do? I'm like, I don't know, health and fitness things. I think that's the, that's the catch all, right? So, I like to consider myself, I guess, primarily an author because I have some books that are popular. Many people listening, at least some of the people listening, probably have heard, if they poke around on Amazon for fitness books, they've probably heard of Bigger, Leaner, Stronger, or maybe Thinner, Leaner, Stronger, which is, those are, I would say, beginner books. They're pretty comprehensive, but they are books for people, for men in the case of Bigger and women in the case of Thinner, who are relatively new to flexible dieting, to understanding energy balance and macronutrient balance, and understanding some of the basics of proper training, who need to understand the fundamentals of like intensity and frequency and volume, and why strength training is superior for most people who are not going to be taking drugs and who just want to look and feel great and gain a fair amount of muscle, that approach is going to be superior to kind of an older school bodybuilding type approach where you're doing very high volume programs and a lot of isolation exercises, and it's usually body part splits and so forth. So I have books that are popular. That's how it all started. And so a lot of people just think of me as like, oh yeah, he's the guy who wrote Bigger, Leaner, Stronger. And that's cool. That's cool. That's still the work that actually I enjoy the most. If there's a part of me that would love to do nothing but that, actually just research and write books and not do a lot of the kind of extraneous things that come with owning a business, that you and many other business owners understand firsthand, that there are always a lot of extra kind of activities that come along with it that you just got to do. They're not really enjoyable. You just got to do them, right? But that I guess would bring me to Legion, which is a sports nutrition company, and I started it in 2014 to kind of scratch my own itch and just start making the products that I wished somebody else would have been making. If Legion would have existed back then, I certainly would have gone to that company first and I would have said, hey, I really like what you're doing. You're doing basically exactly how I would do it. And we can get into what that means, obviously, in the interview. And I would have said, here are all my toys. Here are all my things. Do you want to play? You want to work together? Can we make some sort of deal? Because, you know, I don't want to get off on an entrepreneurship tangent, but for any people out there who are considering entrepreneurship or maybe just starting, something to think with is that when you own a business, if you want to get to, let's say, $100,000 a year in income, if your business is of average normal profitability, it's probably gonna be about 10%. And so you're gonna have to generate at least probably $1 million a year in sales, probably more though, because you can't just take all of the profit out of your business usually. You usually have to reinvest some to continue to grow it or even just to maintain it. So it may need to make $1.5 million a year just to make you $100,000. And if you want to make a lot more than that, then you can just do the math. And so something to consider, like something I would have considered early on is like, hey, if Legion would have existed and I could make a good enough deal to work with that company and promote that company, that the money they pay me, I don't need a business to generate that income. It's just me and my time and, you know, write books, record podcasts, write articles. That's just straight to the bottom line. And so if I could have gotten a certain amount of money, the math would have made more sense to me than starting a business, because I know the statistics in terms of how unlikely a business is to get to even just $1 million a year, let alone $10 million a year. But Legion didn't exist at the time. And I knew that it wasn't going to fail. I knew that I had enough of a following and enough people were interested in my ideas and my recommendations that if I made products, I wouldn't get stuck with them. I think my first order for Legion was like $80,000 or $100,000 of product. And I didn't know if it was going to turn into anything special or turn into an actual like going concern, a thriving business in its own right. But I knew that I could at least sell the $80,000 to $100,000 of product and then get, you know, feedback and see if people want to order more and so forth. And so that's how that started. And it went a lot better than I anticipated. In the first year, Legion actually did about 1.1 million in sales, and we had a lot of inventory issues. I mean, how is that? So order that first run, start selling. And then I'm amazed at the reception and how well it's going right out of the gates. And then at about the 6 week mark, I realized that I didn't reorder any product. Like I didn't have any systems for managing inventory based on demand. I was like, oh wait a minute. This stuff takes 2 months to make, and we haven't placed another order yet. Oh, okay. We're running out of stock of everything. Good. Great. That was smart. And, so we were out of stock. I think we launched with maybe two products initially and ran out of stock of those and added one or two more and ran out of stock of those. So, it was kind of there were a couple of false starts there, but despite that, it still had a good first year. And now fast forward to today, and it does, you know, tens of millions a year in revenue, and a lot of very happy customers. And you know, it's a cool story in that regard, again, because this really was me just hoping that there were enough people out there who would appreciate supplements the way that I wanted to do them. And again, that was driven by the supplements that I wanted to take myself, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm interested, before we dive into a more like a specific supplement discussion, talking about some of my favorite supplements, as well as some of your favorite supplements, I'm interested to know, what did you see in the supplement industry that you didn't like? Like, what was going on within the supplement industry, supplement companies? Like, what did you not like, and what did you want to change through creating Legion?
There was a lot that I didn't like. And this ties into a little bit of the anecdote that I just shared. So if we rewind to before Legion existed, I had a website called Muscle for Life, muscleforlife.com. It was really just a glorified blog. I would post, I don't know, I think it was like 2 to 3 long form articles a week. And I would just do basic SEO research, pick things that I was interested in, that I knew about, that I could learn about. And then I would read a bunch of stuff and kind of compile information and just write these articles and put them out there. And at that time, it was a lot easier to rank in Google than it is now. And so that website grew fairly quickly. I launched that website in, I want to say, March of 2013. And by the end of the year, it was receiving maybe about 600,000 or 700,000 visits a month, if I remember.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's very, it probably could be done but you'd have to come into it with a lot of money that would have to be deployed in various ways. You'd have to produce a lot of content. And I'm talking specifically now in the fitness space, which is a lot more flooded, a lot more competitive. And Google is a lot, it's just a lot harder to gain traction now than it was then. So a bit of a luck factor in terms of timing. And so I was also gathering email addresses from the beginning, also via my books. I was gathering email addresses. People can get quite a bit of bonus material that is very helpful if you're going to follow the program specifically by just giving me an email address. And so I, at that time, over on Muscle for Life, I had a section of the website that was just my recommendations. And it was mostly health and fitness stuff, but there were other things like books I liked, even movies I liked, just stuff that I liked. I was kind of just doing it for fun. And a certain portion of my readership and my following liked it. They just liked, what does Mike, what kind of shoes does he like? I don't know. What kind of, again, books is he reading or whatever? And so I had supplements, of course, there. And those were the supplements at the time that I was using. And my... I had like little individual pages for each thing, and I had a little bit of text where I was explaining this is why I'm using this supplement. And there weren't many. There was like a protein powder, a multivitamin, a pre-workout, and I think a creatine supplement, and maybe a fish oil as well. Yeah, I was using Nordic Naturals fish oil. So there were a handful, right? And for the most part, though, my recommendations were very lukewarm. Like, I was not really endorsing. I was using On's Natural Whey, for example.
Yeah, I use that as well.
It's a fine product. It's a fine product. But, I mean, let's be honest. It tastes like shit.
I was just about to say it tasted awful.
Oh, it's so bad.
It tasted awful.
It is so bad, right? And in terms of taste. Now, you know, that was in my little endorsement text, though, again, was like, okay, a protein powder is convenient. Primarily, that's the reason to use it. I personally would rather mix up some protein that tastes good. I'd rather mix it up in some water and drink it down than like eat a pot of yogurt or eat another chicken breast.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I'd rather just drink it. Right. It's just easy. So one, just know that, right, that there's nothing particularly special about a protein drink or protein powder. And then two, be warned that this stuff does not taste good at all. And I'm using it simply because I want to keep my exposure to artificial sweeteners low. Not that I'm afraid of these chemicals. They're not nearly as bad as many people would have you believe. But I do think, and I was saying this at that time, and I think there's more evidence of this now than then. I was just saying that considering that I'm having several servings of this protein powder, I'm having on most days a serving of this pre-workout, which I'll talk quickly about in a second. And, you know, I have this creatine supplement. I personally don't want to have like 8 to 10 servings of artificial sweetener a day because I just notice there's something a little bit off. It was hard to explain, but just something didn't sit well in my stomach when I had that much that many servings of Ace K or aspartame or sucralose a day, and that's why. So I was like, yeah, so I'll just use the natural stuff and put it up with the taste, basically. And so this pre-workout that I was using, I believe it was also On's, and I was saying that, okay, this isn't a very good product. I'm just warning you. I like a couple of the ingredients. I like the beta alanine. I like the citrulline. I had one or two others, but the dosing is not great. It's about half, if I remember correctly, it was 4 grams of sitmalate. It should be literally double that, and it was maybe 1.5 grams of beta alanine at the time, and it should be literally double that. And so I was telling people, how much of a difference is it really making? Probably not much, but I didn't like coffee at the time. And so I was like, if I liked coffee or espresso, I probably would just do that, but I don't. So I do this, basically. And so that and same type of recommendation on the multivitamin, right? This is nothing special, but at least it has the essential vitamins and minerals, and it can plug maybe any holes in my diet, even though my diet's quite good. It's an inexpensive insurance policy, but it's nothing special, right? And so despite my lack of enthusiasm for these products, a lot of people were clicking because I was sending them to Amazon. Not that I didn't care to make the money. I mean, it never made that much money. I was just genuinely curious if anybody was buying stuff based on my recommendations. And enough people were that it made it clear to me that, like, so if I had my own products and I could actually honestly get behind them and say, and get a little bit excited and say, hey, this is a good product. Let me explain why. Like, I'm going to actually break this formulation down and tell you what these ingredients are. And I'm going to talk to you about dosing, which is another thing that I didn't like in the supplement industry, was that there were good ingredients in products that were often underdosed, and in some cases extremely underdosed, and often hidden behind the proprietary blend, which is less prevalent now than it was then. But I think you remember back then, dude, like everything
said proprietary blend.
They all, right? And now I like to think I helped a little bit with raising consumer awareness, because I've been railing against proprietary blends since the beginning.
Could you explain that for anyone listening who doesn't understand what that would mean and why they should look out for it?
Totally. So a proprietary blend is when you look on the supplement facts panel and you see something like the mega muscle pump matrix, right? You see that. and then you see a weight next to it. So it'd say, like, maybe it says 2000 milligrams. And then underneath that, you see, let's say, 8 different ingredients, but you don't see how much of any of those ingredients is in this blend. So they call it a proprietary blend, because the reason that was given as to, like, why this should be okay is that these companies have proprietary research. They have proprietary insight into which ingredients are best and at which amounts, and, oh, you know, you got to get the synergies just right. It was all bullshit. It's just marketing bullshit. All they actually wanted to do was be able to pixie dust their products and not have consumers realize what is going on. Because how the proprietary blend works is, so you have the weight of the entire blend. So that's the weight of all of the ingredients in that blend. And then they're listed by predominance, listed in the order of predominance by weight. So the first ingredient is most prominent in the blend. So let's say in this case of 2000 milligrams, ingredient one is going to be the most used ingredient in that blend. There's going to be the right most of that ingredient. And then ingredient number two is by weight in the number two position, and so forth. And that is, again, it's not ideal, because the dose is the key, not just the ingredient, but it gets a little bit worse than that, because in the case of a proprietary blend, the first ingredient could be 98% of the blend. So if the first ingredient in our mega muscle pump matrix is maltodextrin, which is just a cheap carbohydrate that tastes good, right? And then let's say you don't really, malto is not a, it's not a quote unquote bad ingredient. It's just a cheap carb. That's it. There's nothing else to it.
It doesn't cost them a lot of money, and it allows them to put less of the good ingredients in there and charge
you more. Exactly. So let's say you're the consumer and you're like, oh, maltodextrin, okay, it's a carb, fine. And then you see creatine next and you're like, oh no, I know creatine. Creatine's good. Okay, so this has creatine. Great, perfect. That's a good sign. And then maybe beta-alanine comes next, although it wouldn't be in a pump. It might be citrulline or an arginine, or you have these other, let's say, pump ingredients, right? And so the blend can look pretty appealing if you don't know that, again, because of label laws, because of just how this works, of the 2,000 milligrams, 1,800 of them could just be malto, and then there are just, you know, little sprinklings of everything else. And then talking about dosing, what you may not know is that in the case of creatine, great ingredient, a great supplement, anybody into weightlifting should take it. And you could probably argue that really anybody who's physically active should take it, and older people who aren't physically active should get physically active, but they may also be able to benefit from it. But in the case of creatine, right, you need to take 5 grams per day. That is the clinically effective dose. That's the dose that has been most used in the scientific literature, and that has been demonstrated to produce the majority of the benefits that we're after. In the case of, again, citrulline, particularly citrulline malate, what you really want to see is 8 grams per serving. So now if we go back to this 2000 milligram blend, it's a lot less exciting when you realize that even though you don't know how much creatine or citrulline or arginine would need to be in the range of a couple of grams as well, you don't know how much is in the blend, you know that it's not enough because the entire blend only weighs 2000 milligrams. So there were a lot of proprietary blends, and I really didn't like that because, again, it's just, it's
misleading.
It's really people. It's just for misleading people. Like, that's it. It's just actually, you could say it's fraud. Maybe it's not legally fraud, but just by a simple dictionary definition, it's just fraudulent behavior. Yeah.
They get to charge you way more money for an amount of supplement that isn't even giving you enough of a dose to get the desired effect from that supplement.
Exactly. So yeah, those were the main things. There were formulations that were just, they had a lot of ineffective ingredients. That's very common. Or they had effective ingredients in ineffective doses. That was very common. I did personally want to get away from artificial sweeteners, especially if I was going to be taking even more. I mean, I take all of my stuff essentially, except for the fat burners, unless I'm like trying to lose weight. But I'm taking my greens supplement. I'm taking protein powder. I'm taking pre-workout, post-workout. And so I have many customers who do the same thing. And again, if you're going to get up to like 10 plus servings of supplements a day, I think that it is smart to try not to have that much artificial sweetener every single day, and particularly for your gut health. And so I wanted to get away from that. I wanted to get away from proprietary blends. And I also wanted to create a supplement company that isn't just about selling supplements and that provides a lot of education. I really wanted to, it's easier to get somebody to buy a bottle of pills than it is to get them to read a book, for example. But I was thinking that if I could make good products that I could stand behind and I could sell them honestly and not overpromise, like we can talk about claims, talk about fat burners, a good example of that, sell them honestly, and then use that kind of as like a Trojan horse to get people interested in learning about how to get healthy, get fit, stay healthy, stay fit, then that was even more exciting to me, actually, because that's where the real change comes, right? The supplements are just supplementary by definition. You don't need any supplements, including any of mine, to get into awesome shape, get into awesome health, and stay that way. If you have the budget and inclination, some supplements can help, but they are not necessary, and they are not even that important in the scheme of things. But sometimes you have to, in marketing, you have to meet people where they are. You got to start somewhere and then help kind of nudge them in the right direction. And so I thought that, if I could use the sports nutrition company, the supplement company, to do that, then I'd be doing people an even bigger service.
What you just said, just so you're aware, what you just said is arguably, if not the single biggest reason why I support you and Legion so much, is because I don't know anyone who owns a supplement company who would say that what you just said, which is like they're not even necessary, right? Like it would be like if Gary Tobbs came out and was like, yeah, like carbs really aren't that bad, right? It's like,
exactly.
He's never going to do that.
Sugar actually is okay.
Cause he's based his entire career off that. So it's one of the reasons I respect you so much. And I support Legion. What we've discussed already are the two major reasons. Number one is you don't do proprietary blends. You're completely open and honest and candid with all of the ingredients and the amounts in all of your supplements. And you're not saying that any supplement is going to be the game changer in your fitness. It's like you even said it's not necessary, but it can help in some circumstances. And like that's why I support you so much and why I appreciate everything you do for the industry, because you're just very open and honest with everything that you do. So, and I think that's the most important, and I appreciate it, and I want you to know that firsthand.
And I appreciate your appreciation, because to me, that element of not just this business, but business in general is more important to me than making money, for example. And not to go off on a tangent, but if I think back to when I was, you know, 18 or 19, trying to figure out what am I going to do with my life, I've never been a very money motivated person. And the idea of just having a business that kind of sells, you know, trinkets or, you know, gizmos or whatever for a profit at the time was not appealing to me at all. Now that I've built a business and I have more appreciation for kind of the art of business building, and I have a more expansive perspective, I don't think that way now. I don't think that having a business that just sells things for a profit, so long as they're good things being honestly sold, I don't think that there's anything to be ashamed about at all. But at the time when I was thinking of like, okay, I want to do something that makes a difference. I want to actually help people, and I want to do something that is honest and that I can really stand behind and that can stand up to scrutiny by people like you who have no reason otherwise really to work with me. You don't need the money. You don't need to do anything that you don't really want to do. So
correct.
When I got into it, I was hoping to find people like you. And I knew that my approach would turn off some people, especially people who don't operate that way themselves, because they don't like to have a mirror held up to them, you know, especially when I'm like openly talking about a lot of the scams in the industry, which include a lot more than just supplementation scams, but particularly supplementation scams. And there are many people out there who are willing to promote supplements that they know are not nearly as effective as they are claiming, for example.
Correct.
That doesn't personally anger me. Like I don't get self-righteous about it, but I honestly don't want to work with those people. I'll let those people work with the companies that are a fit for them. And I was hoping that if I did it right, I could attract, so to speak, people like you, you know?
Yeah. And it makes total sense. And I think that's what you've built, is you've built a company of people who have the same values, same ethics, and are being open and honest about what the supplements do and why they use them, rather than trying to make grandiose claims around things that are essentially boldly inaccurate in every way, shape, and form. With that said, let's talk about supplements. Like let's go in depth. There are a number of supplements. I'm not a big supplement guy. I've never been a big supplement guy, but I do use some. I have a few staples that I use, and I haven't spoken about them on my podcast. So I was like, okay, who better than to bring on than you to talk about the supplements I use are from your company. So again, not a huge supplement guy. I'm very vocal about that on my social media and everything, but there are a few supplements that I use, and I want you to take the lead here and explain the science and the benefits of some of these supplements. So to start off, I think we sort of already discussed it a little bit, but I'd love for you to go into more detail around creatine. I know when I first wanted to take creatine when I was in high school, my mom was like, that's a steroid.
No steroids.
And I, exactly. Like I remember the first protein shake I ever took was designer whey protein in this massive tub. Talk about bad tasting. That was the worst I've ever had in my life. And my mom thought that was steroids as well. So could you just talk about creatine? Because I know there's a lot of misconceptions around it. Number one, people think that it's a steroid. Number two is I think a lot of people think it's only if you want to be a big meathead power lifter. Could you just talk about creatine and how unbelievably well researched it is and who it's actually for? And just I'll let you riff on creatine for a minute.
Yeah. So creatine is the most researched molecule in all sports nutrition. It got big back, I believe it was Bill Phillips. He may have even been the guy to really bring it to the market back with EAS in the Body for Life days. I believe that was the 90s. And there are now hundreds and hundreds of studies that have replicated the key benefits, which are great for us fitness folk. If anybody wants to get more jacked, because it's natural and it's safe. And I can talk a little bit about what it is and how it works, but just to cut to the chase. So you're going to gain muscle faster. You're going to gain strength faster. Now I should say though, that it's not comparable to steroids. For example, we're talking about a little bit faster muscle growth, a little bit faster strength gain over time. We also know it improves anaerobic endurance, so you can get some better workouts out of it, and particularly if you're, you know, lifting heavy weights, and if you're pushing yourself kind of close to muscle failure, you'll notice an improvement in your performance. Studies show that creatine, it reduces muscle damage, it reduces DOMS, the post-workout muscle soreness, which is helpful if you are, particularly if you're an intermediate or an advanced weightlifter who has to rack up a fair amount of volume every week for the major muscle groups that you want to continue developing, right? And so, of course, then you have to use frequency to accomplish that. Let's say you're doing a specialization routine and you're gonna go hard. You're gonna do 18 to 20 hard sets for a major muscle group. Let's say it's your back, right, in a week. And of course, you can't do that in one workout. You're going to have to train your back 3, 4, maybe even 5 times to break that up into effective doses of volume. And you can train a muscle group, and I know you know this, Jordan, but you know, for anybody listening, you can train a muscle group when it's sore. That doesn't necessarily mean it's not recovered, but you do have better workouts with less soreness, right? So
absolutely, and you're less likely to injure yourself. I mean, one of the things that I've seen, I mean, when I was a competitive powerlifter, I struggled with this, and I see people struggle with this. If they go to the gym and they're cripplingly sore all the time, odds are your intensity and or volume is awry. Something needs to be fixed,
or you're not eating enough, or you're not sleeping enough, or something.
But I have noticed, though, that there are, and I'm sure you've seen this as well, there are some people who just genetically, they have a predisposition to being more sore than other people.
Yeah.
They just get more sore. And for these people, I've found that creatine is actually very helpful for the same reason. Like, it can help reduce that soreness. And one of the reasons it's so important is because if you're really, really sore and you go to the gym, you're more likely to get hurt because you're going to compensate in your movement. Like, if your hamstrings are just debilitatingly sore and you're trying to bend over or do a squat or whatever it is, you're probably going to end up compensating at your lower back. And then that's when people hurt their lower back. And it wasn't because of anything other than if they were able to manage their soreness better, they would have been able to move more efficiently throughout that lift. So for those people, I've found creatine can be very helpful, not even just for the strength aspect of it, but because it can help manage muscle soreness.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's why in Legion's post-workout, we have another ingredient that helps with muscle soreness as well, which is L-carnitine, L-tartrate. And it's really just for that reason, is it can improve muscle repair as well in this case. But even if all you notice is that you're a little bit less sore from your workouts, that can help. And again, particularly like what you're saying is where you're training a muscle group several times per week, and you have to, because that's the only way to get enough volume. Like, sure, if you're brand new to weightlifting and you only need to get in 9 or 10 hard sets for a major muscle group to pretty much maximize muscle hypertrophy, which is the case for at least the first, probably certainly the first 6 months, maybe even the first year or so, that's pretty easy. I mean, then you actually can just do that in one workout if you wanted to, and you're good to go. But again, when I'd say once you get up to like needing, you know, 15 plus hard sets for a major muscle group per week, you have to pay more attention to these things like muscle soreness and how well you're recovering. And so creatine is great for that. It also is great when you're cutting, because research shows that it helps preserve lean mass and it helps preserve strength when you're restricting your calories. And that again is particularly relevant to people who are already pretty big and pretty strong, men or women, because they are the ones who are most likely to lose lean mass when they're cutting, and particularly if they want to get pretty lean. You know, if you're a guy and you're pretty big, you've been lifting weights for a while, and you want to get below 10% body fat, even if it's just a little bit below, you want to get, you know, really sharp abs and you want to have some vascularity and all that, then I wouldn't say you have to worry about losing muscle, not at all. But if you can take a simple, natural, safe supplement like creatine and minimize or at least reduce the potential muscle loss along the way, why not, right?
I know a lot of people get worried about creatine. I think even just the name sounds intimidating to people. It's found in foods that we eat, right? It's when you say it's natural, like people eat creatine without realizing it, correct?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's just made up of a couple amino acids. It's L-arginine, it's glycine, and it's methionine. And so technically creatine is called a peptide, but you have these three amino acids and creatine is a compound that's made up of them. And our body actually produces creatine, and it also can absorb and it can store creatine that is in food. So meat, eggs, fish, I think those are the most common sources. Like if you eat a big steak, I believe you're getting a few grams, probably 3-ish grams of creatine. And so you have the most common form is creatine monohydrate. That's the most studied form. It's the most inexpensive form. It's the form that's in Legion's post-workout recharge, for example. We use a micronized, which is it's just been processed to make the little particles very small, and because that's generally better for digestion, not absorption, just digestion. Some people do get an upset stomach from creatine,
I was going to
and
say the micronized helps my stomach a lot. I always, if I took just regular creatine monohydrate, it would, I'd feel slightly nauseous, but with the micronized, like I feel totally fine.
Yep. And my wife gets nauseous from creatine of any kind, unfortunately, and she's really into riding horses, which is a lot more physically demanding than I knew previously. I didn't know anything about. I still don't know much about riding
It'll wreck
horses.
your adductors. Oh my
Yeah,
God.
just right. I mean, she, her, yeah, exactly. Her adductors and her core, and even her back. And when you, it's one of those things when you watch someone who's good riding around on a horse, they make it look so easy. They make it look like they're doing nothing, but there's a lot of isometric activity going on. And so, unfortunately, she can't take creatine of any kind, which is something that probably should be mentioned because it applies to not just creatine, but all supplements, is that there are non-responders. So if someone listening, if they have tried creatine and they've tried different forms, not that it really matters, but it's just they usually have if one didn't seem to do anything and it doesn't seem to do anything, that they don't seem to notice any benefits whatsoever, it's possible that they're just they don't respond to it. And the good news about creatine is that most people do respond to it, and the effects can be subtle. You may not notice them unless you go about it a little bit scientifically and like really actually pay attention to levels of muscle soreness and record it and treat it kind of like an N1 experiment. But most people are going to benefit in at least a few different ways from creatine. And again, it is 100% safe. Concerns about kidney damage, for example, have been completely overblown. Research shows that so long as you have healthy kidneys, you have nothing to be concerned about. I mean, I know of at least a couple of studies that showed that people with damaged kidneys, I think in one case, a person had only one kidney. And they were totally fine. But if you do have kidney issues, it is not a bad idea to speak to your doctor first. Otherwise, the weight of the evidence, and it's a lot of evidence, is that creatine is completely safe. And we may want to quickly touch on, have you come across the creatine and DHT male pattern baldness scare?
I've seen that. I've never been worried about it, especially since I'm already bald. But yeah, you can go on.
I mean, it is worth quickly commenting on because I know there are a lot of guys out there who are reluctant to use creatine because they're concerned about a study that was done with rugby players that suggested that creatine use may raise dihydrogen, testosterone, DHT levels, and that is associated with male pattern baldness. And if you are genetically predisposed to losing your hair, then you don't want higher levels of DHT. And the long story short is there were methodological flaws in that study, and I would say that there is not good scientific evidence and for that connection, and there is no proposed mechanism that makes any sense whereby creatine could increase DHT levels. And I'm actually funding a study that is going to be done at the University of Texas that is going to look at this specifically just to provide a much needed counterpoint to this one flawed paper that is out there. Really, I mean, it's just, and I understand. I get asked about it fairly often. That's why I thought I should just comment on it quickly.
And you've also got a thick head of hair. Like, you've got just a beautiful head of hair. So, I mean,
a mane that I got from my dad. He still has his hair. So, thanks, DNA.
The other thing, but I just want to quickly touch on with creatine before we go into other stuff. The major question I get a lot, especially from women, is about bloating. Is bloating common with it? Can you discuss that and if there's ways to bypass it?
Yeah. So bloating used to be an issue, I would say maybe 10 years ago or so, when processing wasn't as advanced as it is now, but it's much less common now. And particularly with something like micronized creatine that, again, is easier on the stomach than non-micronized monohydrate. And if somebody is dealing with bloating with micronized, then they're not imagining things. It can happen. It's just rare. And what they may find is that another form reduces the bloating or eliminates it altogether. So again, if they're just taking a regular monohydrate, then they could go to a micronized. If that is an issue, then they could try a creatine hydrochloride. I'm actually not sure what hydrochloride was once touted as the next thing. Oh, this is better than monohydrate, and it wasn't. It just is easier on the stomach. And so I'm not sure how many hydrochloride products are actually still out there, because it doesn't have kind of like the marketing sex appeal that it used to. But if you can get your hands on a hydrochloride, you could try creatine nitrate. That increases water solubility. That can help. You can try a buffered creatine, and which is just creatine with a higher pH level. I would say that stay away from creatine ethyl ester, because research shows that it is actually less effective than monohydrate. So don't go in for one of those. But the other few forms that I mentioned may allow you to get the benefits of creatine without the bloating.
Perfect. All right. So we're gonna move on.
Liquid creatine products, stay away from those, because when you suspend creatine in liquid for, I believe it's after about a few days, it starts to break down into the inactive substance called creatinine. Mm. And that's no good. So liquid creatine products are out. You want it to be a powder or a pill, and the powders are going to be your best bang for the buck.
Okay, that's perfect. All right, so let's go into there's a bunch more that I want to discuss in terms of supplements. So let's go through. I think the next one that I think for me personally, I take most importantly is Triton, is your fish oil supplement. I get a lot of questions about why I take fish oil, the benefits of it, the research around it. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that it's creatine and fish oil are the two most studied supplements in the world. Could you talk about fish oil and why it might be important?
Yeah, fish oil is one of the few, like if you were to ask me, all right, what are the key supplements that people should consider taking? I would say, all right, if you're into banging weights, you should probably consider a protein powder because it's convenient. You should probably consider a multivitamin. We could talk about that. You want to make sure it has enough vitamin D. If it doesn't, you're going to want to add. And you should also consider a fish oil, or more specifically, an omega-3 fatty acid supplement. And so that's really the key. We take fish oil to get this omega-3 fatty acid, which just is a description of the molecule. But the reason this omega-3 fatty acid is so important is it affects so many aspects of our physiology and of our mental and our physical health and performance. And so maintaining omega-3 fatty acid sufficiency, for example, has been shown to reduce the risk of heart disease. It's been shown to boost muscle growth, improve cognitive performance, even boost fat loss when people, again, calories matched, macronutrients matched, omega-3 insufficiency can impair fat loss. Getting enough omega-3 fatty acids brings down inflammation levels. It helps you feel better. It can improve mood. There are just so many different benefits. Also, something particularly useful for us weightlifters is higher doses in the range of 3 to 6 grams of omega-3s per day can reduce joint inflammation in particular. And again, when you're an intermediate or an advanced weightlifter having to rack up a fair amount of volume just to get anywhere, I appreciate anything I can do to just make my joints, keep my joints feeling good. And fortunately, I don't have any regular joint problems, and a fish oil and omega-3 fatty acid supplement is a good way to do that. There are other options. You could go, for example, with a plant-based product, but it's the really what we're after with these omega-3 fatty acids is people have probably heard EPA and DHA, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the two molecules that we want, and you can get them directly in fish oil, whereas with like an ALA supplement for alpha-linolenic acid, plant-based, your body has to do some conversion processes to get to EPA and DHA, and those are not very efficient. And you can take a plant-based supplement to just maintain basic sufficiency of omega-3s. That's totally fine. But if you want to, let's say, like, you know, or flax, that's another common plant-based supplement. But if you want to get to the higher levels, and that allows you, again, to reap some of the more performance and the joint-based benefits, the stuff that people who are really into working out are going to appreciate, it's a bit hard to do with a plant-based supplement. It's very easy to do with a fish oil supplement. And krill oil is fine as well, but it's just unnecessarily expensive. Some supplement companies and marketers, they'll try to make some pitch as to why krill oil is better than fish oil. And that's just not true. The research does not bear that out. It's fine. It works. If it were better, I would be selling it. But that's why I don't sell a krill oil supplement. I get asked about it fairly often, just as I get asked fairly often to sell a branched chain amino acid supplement. And I don't sell the krill oil for the reason I just gave. I'm like, I don't have any honest way I can. It's just unnecessarily expensive. Why bother, you know? And then BCAAs don't do anything, basically. So why bother with those?
if you're taking protein, then why bother with the BCAAs?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, okay, fine. If you're a triathlete and you're like out running and biking and swimming all day and you're having trouble even getting in enough protein, I would still recommend just maybe sipping on a whey protein all day, basically, if you can. I would tell people to do that before BCAAs. But anyway, so yeah, that's the story with fish oil. And I should probably mention that, as with all supplements, you don't have to take it. You can get enough omega-3s through your diet alone, but it's, I wouldn't say it's hard. It's just, you need to be eating several servings of fatty fish per week is really correct. What it comes down to. You can get to basic sufficiency on a plant-based diet. It's just tricky, and you're going to have to be eating a couple of different foods, and that's going to come with a lot of fat and a lot of calories, and you're just going to have to be okay with that. And so most people, especially omnivores, would rather just take a nice, high-quality, clean fish oil supplement than micromanage their diet to make sure that they're getting in their 3 to 4 servings of salmon a week or something, you know?
Yeah, yep, 100%. And I know for me personally, I feel a marked difference when I take fish oil and vitamin D versus when I don't, and specifically in energy and mood. When I'm taking fish oil and making sure I'm getting my vitamin D, my energy and mood is like, I can feel it and notice the difference between it, the health benefits from fish oil are, the list is unbelievably long. It's insane. But for me, I've always found it interesting that I can actually feel the difference in energy and mood when I take it along with vitamin D versus when I don't. So that's why, like, for me, my top supplements, especially from Legion, are the any protein powder. I like the whey, I like the casein, but Triton, the fish oil. I also really like, for whatever it's worth, is Lunar. I'd love to talk about that, because this is a supplement. Everything you've said so far, I've understood. Like, I know this much, but the Lunar, the sleep supplement, this is something I'm not as educated on, and I know a lot of people I talk to struggle with their sleep. Could you talk about Lunar? Because for me, like, dude, if I take one scoop of Lunar, I'm out, and I have such good sleep. And for whatever it's worth, not only that, I don't have weird dreams. When I take it, I don't take melatonin because if I take melatonin, I have the most vivid, horrifying dreams like I've ever had in my life. But for whatever reason with Lunar, I sleep super well and I have no weird dreams with it.
You know, my wife has the same thing. That's a thing. It's just interesting. Some people, that's how they respond to melatonin. It's exactly that. It's consistently vivid nightmares.
Oh, dude, it's the worst. And I like wake up in night sweats and like I don't know what it is or why. I haven't taken the time to research it, but like it's the most horrifying dreams when I take melatonin. But with Lunar, it's funny. Within 30 to 60 minutes of taking it, like I feel my entire body just like, I don't know how to say it other than just like, whoom, just like heavy, sleepy, tired. I lie down and it's lights out in like 60 seconds or less.
That's awesome. I mean, that's exactly what you want. I mean, that's like ideal, is very sleepy, hit the bed, out, and you open your eyes and it's, you know, 7.5, 8 hours later or whatever.
Yep.
I'm a little bit jealous, to be honest. I used to sleep like that, but after two kids, those days are long gone. I'm going to wake up at least once or twice, which fortunately I can fall back asleep. So I don't have any quote unquote sleep problems. I just don't sleep like I did when I was, you know, 24, but I can appreciate it when I hear other people enjoying the land of Nod.
What is it about Lunar that promotes that? Like what, like supplement wise, like ingredient wise, what's going on in Lunar to help with that?
Yeah. And quickly, I'll just first comment on melatonin because melatonin's in Lunar, but I'm gonna guess that the reason why it's not bothering you is it's a small dose, and melatonin is one of those supplements that many people think that the standard dose is, you know, you take 3 to 5 milligrams, you can take a slow acting or not, and that's fine. But what research shows actually is that the clinically effective dose starts at 500 micrograms and can go up to 5 milligrams. But what studies show is that melatonin's benefits are not dose dependent. So taking more than 500 micrograms in most people doesn't produce any greater benefits. So there's usually no reason to take more. And what can happen at these higher doses, though, are unwanted side effects. And so in the case of Lunar, it's unlikely, like, you know, the melatonin that you've taken in the past that caused problems was almost certainly melatonin, and there's probably nothing else wrong with it. It just may have been the dose, or there could be also possible synergies with other ingredients in the product. But that would be my guess, is that your body responds well to that small dose, that 500 microgram dose, and may not respond well to a 3 or 5 milligram dose, which is obviously much higher. It's not dangerous or anything. It's just much higher. So just a quick comment on the melatonin I thought you might find interesting.
Yeah, I believe that when I look online for just pure melatonin, the only options are 3 to 5 milligrams.
Yep.
Like I haven't found like a microdose option for it. I didn't even realize that it was in Lunar at all in such a small dose.
Yep. Yeah. It is very, very commonly sold in 3 and 5 milligram pills. It's there. If you go poking around on Amazon or wherever, you may be able to find a 500 microgram, but that's not common. It's much more common to find the 3 to 5. And so in the case of Lunar, there's a small amount, and the benefits of that in most people are it can reduce the time that it takes to fall asleep. So if people, they don't have trouble staying asleep, but it takes them a bit to fall asleep, a little bit of melatonin can help with that. Melatonin has been shown to improve sleep quality in people who are dealing with insomnia. Otherwise, it doesn't usually improve sleep quality. It just helps you fall asleep faster. And it's also great for dealing with jet lag. I should just mention, for people, if you're traveling and you know you're changing time zones, I didn't do any international traveling last year, but the year before I went to Italy and I used an app, I believe it's called Time Shifter, and it was cool. It just, you put in your current time zone and your current schedule, where you're going, and it just advises you based on sleep science, in circadian rhythm science, when to take a nap, when to have some caffeine, when to expose yourself to light, when not to, so as to minimize jet lag, and also when to dose melatonin. And again, research shows that when you're changing time zones, that supplementing with melatonin can help you beat the jet lag and just help you adjust your circadian rhythm faster. So it's pretty useful for that. And then also in the product, what may be helping you just relax is lemon balm. And so that's an herb that's been around for a long time, since ancient times, to just calm people down, to relieve anxiety, promote sleep. And there are now studies on lemon balm that bear it out. And there are quite a few ingredients that it's cool that they've been around for a couple thousand years. And this was pre-science, obviously, but scientifically minded people just started noticing, when I use this, I get this reliable effect, and I give it to my friends, they get this reliable effect, and then it becomes, you know, just part of kind of like the folk medicine of some tribe, and then it spreads from there. And so that's kind of the story of lemon balm, and research shows that it can improve sleep quality, that it can reduce feelings of anxiety and feelings of stress and help you feel calm. This is an ingredient that works well for me. For example, I notice it within 30 minutes or so of having lemon balm, and also lavender works well. I've taken the Silexin brand because that's the specific brand that has been studied. That works well for me, where I just start to feel more chilled out and start to feel more sleepy. And so
that's exactly how it is for me. It's so interesting. I've noticed at nighttime, you own a business as well. So much of what I do is on social media. And I think even if someone doesn't have a business on social media, it's hard sometimes to put your phone down at night.
Yep.
And I think for whatever reason, you're lying in bed late at night, lights are out, but that bright light is shining right in your eyes. And like, for whatever reason, because social media is so good at just like getting you into that vortex where it's just hard to put your phone down. But I noticed that when I take Lunar, the feeling of anxiety, like I feel like there's almost this chronic underlying anxiety when you're on social media, whether you realize it or not. And it's sometimes hard for me to put my phone down, but when I take Lunar and I, whether I want it or not, I will start to get way less anxious, way more calm, and the phone just goes down, right? Like I just automatically put the phone down because I'm like, all right, I'm going to bed. Like I'm exhausted at this point. And that's been very, very helpful for me because, you know, everyone knows like, yeah, put your phone down. But it's obviously easier said than done. And
yeah, I mean, that's one of those things like everybody knows, eat your vegetables, eat your fruits, stop eating right. So much. Sometimes it's easier said than done.
So that's been great for me. So Lunar, Triton, this fish oil has been great. And then there are a couple other things I wanted to talk about. Let's talk about pre-workout, because pre-workout is something that actually my mind has shifted on over the years. If people looked at my content in probably 2015, 2016, and before that, I went through different phases. When I was in high school and in college, I loved pre-workout. It was like, yeah. I loved
the more,
it. It
the
like,
more stim, the better, right?
Oh, yeah. It was especially like early on in my powerlifting days. It was like pre-workout, ammonia, like all that stupid stuff. Yeah. Then I got to a point where I became.
I still see young whippersnappers in the gym. Now
with the
and
ammonia
then.
Tabs.
Yep. Yeah. Like, hitting it after every, before every set. I'm like, one it's day just, you're probably going to stop doing that.
I hope so. But I got to a point where like, isn't what happens when you do that all the time is you burn out, like CNS burnout, mental burnout, physical burnout. When you're just getting that hyped up for every set, you can't do that forever. So then I went the complete other way, and I went like very like quote unquote Zen lifter. I was like, I didn't want to be hyped up at all for my lifts. I didn't want to have too much energy. I wanted to be as calm as possible. And for whatever it's worth, that actually really helped me a lot when I was training as a competitive powerlifter near the peak of my career, where for my regular lifting sessions, I would never get too amped up. I would take pre-workout before a competition, but not like during my actual lifting sessions. Then there was a few years there where I was like this, I called myself like this Zen lifter. It's like pretty obnoxious now that I think about it, but like I didn't take anything. I would sometimes take coffee, but now it's gotten to a point where, like, realistically, like, coffee doesn't do anything for me, like, in term, unless I take too much of it, right? So coffee doesn't really give me much extra energy at this point. And so in the last couple of years, I started taking pre-workout just like maybe between like 1 to 3 workouts a week. I don't do it for every workout, but I've been using Legion's Pulse, and I've really, really liked it. And I save it. I don't look at it as something that I do before every workout, but it's usually every week I have like one workout that I'm really, really excited for. I have two workouts that like I'm not excited for, but I'm not excited for, and I'm going to do them. I have one workout where I'm just like, I don't want to do this at all. And for that workout, I definitely take pre-workout and maybe one or two others, just depending on how I'm feeling. So I sort of save it just for the time in which I know I'm going to need it. Cause once I take it, I'm up, like I'm ready to work out. So I like to save it for that purpose. But do you want to talk about pre-workout in general and also Pulse and what goes in it?
Yeah. And that's a smart way to use it. And, you know, if you wanted to really get the most from that strategy, not that it's worth it, but you would probably have no caffeine on any other days. You would save your caffeine just for those days, but not worth, I understand. that's one of those, maybe do as I say, not as I do, because I like espresso, and it's not even the caffeine so much. It's the difference between decaf and caffeine espresso is pretty noticeable. And, but if you really want to get the most out of caffeine, as far as workouts are concerned, ideally you would take a good dose, probably just maybe 2 times max, 3 times a week, and then not use it otherwise. But that strategy of kind of saving your pre-workout for your hardest workouts or the workouts, like you said, I mean, we all have that where there are those days where it's a chore. We're going to go in and do our chores, right? And
correct. You don't want to do it, but you're going to do it.
But you're going to do it. And so you do it. And no, you know, we're not going to complain about it, but we're not going to relish it either. We're going to get in our work and we're going to get out and move on with our day. Right. And so as far as pre-workouts in general go, you know, there are the very stim that's like a sub niche of the niche, right? Is the real stim heavy pre-workouts. I don't like them personally, and I don't feel like it's morally, I have a moral qualms about
interesting
about even creating a product like that or selling a product like that, because one of the I would say primary kind of elements of Legion's ethos from the beginning has been a kind of a Hippocratic oath approach, which is do no harm, right? I want to make sure that, and there's a lot of work, a lot of thought that goes into not just the individual formulations, but with the assumption that people are going to be using multiple products. So for example, we don't want people to get too much choline because you can get headaches. So we have a pre-workout fat burner that has citicoline. We have a nootropic that has another form of choline. It has it turns into choline. It has alpha GPC. There's alpha GPC in Pulse. And so I can't take credit for that. I give credit to Curtis Frank, who heads up research and development in the scientific advisory board, but we put just as much importance on safety as we do efficacy. So in the case of Pulse, that's why we just went simple with caffeine, and at a moderate dose that people can dose up or down accordingly. We also have a stim-free version of it. So that is great for people who want to keep their caffeine intake relatively low, which if we look at the weight of the evidence currently, it's about 400 milligrams per day. If you keep your intake at or below 400 milligrams per day, this is for the average adult. So if somebody is very big, they can maybe do more. If somebody's very small, my wife weighs 100 pounds, that would be a bit too much for her.
Yeah.
You know, but for people in the range of 130, 140 to maybe 190 pounds, it's about 400 milligrams per day isn't associated with any long-term health issues. Genetics also play a role. Some people can pound caffeine. I mean, there are people that I remember in the literature, just reading some of the caffeine literature, who were having, I want to say, about a gram and a half on average a day. Yeah, dude. And for years with no seemingly no unwanted effects.
Oh my Lord.
A gram and a half a day every day for years, and the doctors were like, yeah, I don't know, you seem to be perfectly fine.
that's like, gives me anxiety just thinking about it. I don't know.
I couldn't
if you
imagine.
Oh my God. I think when I was on your podcast a month ago or so, whatever it was, I remember I was doing that experiment. Do you remember when I did your podcast and I was only drinking coffee for an entire day?
Yeah.
Dude, I had a massive freak out later that day. I had 1 gram. I had 1,000 milligrams of caffeine, and I freaked out around 5 PM. And I had to stop drinking coffee at that point. I could not imagine having 1.5 grams a day consistently. Like that just is unbelievable to me, but it shows how much variance there is between individuals. That's crazy.
I know. So there, those people are out there, but for most of us, something around 300 to 400 milligrams per day is reasonable. And you can have less than that, of course, as well. And so in Pulse, we have 350 milligrams in one full serving. And again, some people, like who are really trying to maximize the benefits of caffeine for their workouts, they do save it for just a couple times per week. And then they dose up to 0.6 to 0.8 grams per kilogram milligrams per kilogram of body weight. So for example, let's say somebody weighs 80 kilograms, you know, they may have upward of 600 milligrams, again, 0.6 to 0.8 milligrams per kilogram of body weight. So they may have upward of 500 or 600 milligrams before a workout to get the maximum performance benefit out of it, but they're not having it several days per week. So again, their average could even be lower than 300 or 400. So that is a viable strategy if it's well tolerated and if you want to. I'm not saying that you should do that, but that is in the literature. That's not an unreasonable way of going about it. And then also in the case of Pulse, they're in the stim containing and the caffeinated Pulse, there's theanine, which now is in a lot of pre-workouts, but I think it's pretty cool that Pulse was the first pre-workout that I know of to pair theanine, which is an amino acid that's found in tea. And it actually by itself is a sedative. It's a natural sedative. That's something that I've taken as a supplement at night, for example, just to help wind down. But when it's combined with caffeine, it enhances mood. So you get almost
interesting.
Like a, yeah, if you've had a little bit of that euphoric kind of feeling with Pulse, that's the
every
theanine. That's the theanine. That's the theanine with the caffeine. If we took the theanine out, it wouldn't be the same. It would be a different experience. And research also shows that theanine can help prevent the post-caffeine crash. And some people experience that, some people don't. But caffeine and theanine helps reduce the chances that it just helps you come down easier as opposed to just kind of falling off a cliff, which some people do experience.
It's so funny when you bring that up. Like I've noticed that when I take Pulse pre-workout, I get really hyped up. Like I get super hyped and I love it. Like I really like, it's so funny. I'm not a big marijuana guy. Like I don't like feeling like just relaxed and like I've never been big on marijuana for me personally.
Yeah.
But like, I like getting hyped up. Like I like getting stimulated.
Same.
That's for me.
I'm the same way. Like lethargic, so, like even if it's, I guess the word could be a languor, like, you know, kind of a pleasant idleness. Sure. I mean, I can have a little bit of that, but I'm more like you. I like to go, you know?
Yeah. 100%. And so for me, Pulse pre-workout, I'm like, yes, let's go. Time to lift. I feel great. But I've also noticed that I don't, like you said, fall off a cliff. It keeps me steady throughout the workout. I actually notice it sort of tapering down near the end of the workout. And then by the time the workout is over, about an hour, 90 minutes in, like I'm good. Like, that's it. I'm ready to go. Like by the time I finish my stretching and whatnot, like get in the shower and I'm good to go. And I don't feel overly stimmed out, but I also don't feel like I'm just crashing from the end of the pre-workout.
Exactly. And that's a theme among a lot of, in a lot of the feedback that we get from customers and something they appreciate about Pulse. And then there are the extra goodies. And so there's something to be said, right? Just for the caffeine, theanine and that experience, and it makes your workout better. And if you're into your workout a little bit more, you're probably going to work a little bit harder. And if you play that out over time, that can result in slightly better gains, slightly better muscle and strength gain. And minimally, you're just going to have a little bit of a better time. And so that's worth something. But then there's more in Pulse, which is why we have a stim-free version, which won't give you the energy up that the stim-containing version will give you, of course. But it does contain several other ingredients that have been shown to enhance workout performance and to enhance muscle gain, like in the case of, if we talk about alpha-GPC, research shows that that increases power output. And so that's useful, especially if you're lifting heavy weights. And it's a little bit more relevant to athletes, of course. But I would say that it's not completely irrelevant to those of us who squat heavy weight and deadlift heavy weight and bench and overhead press and so forth. Pulse contains a good 8-gram dose of citrulline malate, and that improves blood flow. It improves muscle endurance. So what you'll notice with sit malate is you can get, it's usually with higher rep ranges, not doesn't have to be like 15 plus reps, but let's say 6 to 8, maybe 8 to 10, 10 to 12. And it can help you get maybe another couple of reps than you would have been able to get otherwise. And I just want to give some specific examples just so people have some context again as to what are we talking about here. Let's set realistic expectations.
100%.
You're not going to take Pulse and then just load the bar with 20% extra weight over your spreadsheet. You know what I mean? Like, if you're supposed to put 85% on the bar, you're not going to, and that's 200 pounds, you're not going to load it with 250 now and get your sets of four. But again, it can, especially if you're using it semi-regularly, make a not insignificant difference in your training that specifically over time can turn into better results. Beta-alanine is another ingredient in Pulse, 3.6 grams actually per serving. And research shows that reduces fatigue, it improves work capacity, and it also appears to augment muscle gain separate to its performance effects, similarly to how creatine does that. Now, it's a different mechanism, but it's like you take creatine, you just gain muscle a little bit faster. Beta-alanine appears to work in the same way. You take beta-alanine regularly, you just appear to gain muscle a little bit faster. And then there's also betaine, 2.5 grams per serving, and that has been shown to increase strength and also increase muscle endurance. So that's a pretty cool ingredient for those of us, especially who are doing, like, for example, I'm following my own Beyond Bigger Leaner Stronger program, which starts off usually with some heavy primary lift type of exercise. In the beginning of the macro cycle, I'm actually doing sets of 10, but that quickly turns into 8s, 6s, 4s, 2s. So I'm starting off with stuff that requires a lot of strength output. And then I'm usually doing some accessory work in the rep range of the macro cycle starts at 10 to 12, and then it works down into 8 to 10 and 6 to 8. And so betaine can help on both ends of that spectrum. It can help you perform better in the strength, end, and then also more the muscle endurance end. And that's it. That's the formulation. And we've upgraded it semi-recently, adding the alpha GPC. And we're always kind of collecting ideas and looking for what's our next upgrade. We try to upgrade all of our products every 12 to 18 months. I would be happy to do it more frequently if I could, but their own, like, it takes time for research to vindicate certain molecules. For example, like Curtis, who heads up all of the research and discovery, he has certain molecules he's keeping an eye on, and he hopes, like, the initial data is good, there's just not enough human data yet for him to want to use it. And so occasionally, though, that research pans out and, like, okay, great, now in our next update we can do this. And he also, just in his ongoing research, he finds other things that, like ATP, for example, is something that is on his watch list for the next update to Pulse. There isn't much much research on it yet. It's one of those things that could be included if we were to explain that there isn't great evidence for efficacy yet. The mechanism makes sense and the initial data looks promising. And some people would be okay with that. Most people would at least understand, and they maybe would appreciate the honesty. It's not very convincing, obviously. It's much better to be able to say, here are four well-designed, well-executed studies that show efficacy, and here's the dose, and that's why we put it in here. But in the case of ATP, we're holding off right now because it's also super expensive. So if we're going to, you know, rejigger the budget and see how we can fit it in, we want to make sure that we really are going to be getting a significant benefit from it. Yeah, that's where the formulation stands right now. And a year from now, it'll probably have another ingredient, but it's our most popular product outside of, if we look at like total bottles sold across all SKUs, our whey protein is the most popular, but then Pulse is number two. It has like a cult following at this point.
It's been interesting because when I've used creatine and I've used beta alanine, I've noticed that, like, I was thinking in terms of the realistic expectations you were setting. Like, you're not just going to add 20% onto your lifts immediately. Like, if your max bench is 135, you're not going to be benching 225 just because you take Pulse. But what I've noticed with creatine and with beta alanine, creatine specifically, my max bench will, I don't know, we'll call it is 225 for five reps, then I get saturated with creatine and I start taking it, I might be able to get like seven reps with it. And like, that's a big difference. And I think for people who've been in the lifting game for a while, they'll understand, like, to get two more reps onto a max is significant. Whereas with beta alanine, I've noticed that my point of fatigue is further down the line. So if I might have been getting fatigue, if I was doing, for example, I don't know, we'll call it bicep curls for sets of 15, I might have started to get fatigued around 10 or 11. But then I noticed that my level of fatigue with the same weight, I don't start to get fatigued until 13 or 14. So then I could take the reps up to 20. So these are things where it's these small differences that actually by the end of the workout make a big difference in terms of total volume and intensity that you're able to incur upon the muscle that you're working, or whether it's a compound lift to get more to more volume and more intensity within that individual lift, which in any individual workout, it's not massive because you're not lifting so much more weight. But when you add this up over several macro cycles, over 3, 4, 5, 6 months, like, it does have tremendous effects on strength, body composition, and athletic performance.
Completely. I mean, just take gaining a couple of reps. So let's say you start, depending on how long your macro cycle is. I mean, I'll just speak to my training, right? So I have 4-month macro cycles right now. So they're a bit longer, maybe than yours. But in the last, if I were to pull up my spreadsheet, I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head. Over that 4-month macro cycle, if I am starting with for simple math, let's just say it's 225 let's say that's on the bench. And that's my 85%, for sets of four I would start a macro cycle because I update my 1RMs at the end of the macro cycle. I do a week of some AMRAPs to see if I've gained anything basically. And so then when I start a macro cycle, the weights all feel pretty heavy because it's just recently calculated. So let's just say that I'm starting with 225. That's my 85% on the bench, and I'm doing sets of four, and I'll probably have one or two reps in reserve. That's my kind of standard. I don't really go beyond that unless I'm doing an AMRAP. And then by the end of a macro cycle at 225, this has happened now a couple of times, I'll have three, four, maybe five, that I think I'm pushing it a little bit there, but three or four reps in reserve. So I've essentially gained a couple of reps, maybe a few reps over the course of 4 months of training hard. I mean, I'm not reckless in the gym, but I push myself and I eat well and I make sure I get enough sleep. And, you know, I take my training, I wouldn't say I quote unquote take it seriously, but, you know, I track everything in spreadsheets and I apply myself to it. That's a successful macro cycle. Just in 4 months of training to be able to gain certainly three or four reps with a working weight, is I'm excited because I know that when I am wrapped now, that's going to be a nice little bump to my 1RM. So, you know, to be able to achieve that with some natural, safe supplements immediately or fairly quickly, as you said, it's not a game changer, but it's not nothing either, because you now get to reap those benefits over the course of, you know, as long as you're willing to take the supplements. And, you know, let's just say that you can, I do think it's reasonable. Let's say you could gain muscle and strength 10 or 15% faster with the right supplementation routine. I do think, and that includes creatine, includes a lot of the things that we've talked about. I think that's reasonable. I think that that could be backed up with good evidence. Certainly not 50%. No, never, not 30%. But, you know, that's for those of us who are into this and who, you know, get excited when we see progress, that alone can be worth it.
Yeah. Especially like you said, like if you're really into this, like if you really, if this is the thing in your life that is not only just a stress relief, but like you look forward to it, like you really enjoy it, like you're passionate about it. It's important. And also it's just laughing because I remember when I, you know, when you get newbie gains, when you first start getting into lifting, like you're adding weight hand over fist,
like every week you're adding 10 pounds so easy
to your lifts. It's like by the time I got to be an elite powerlifter, adding 5 pounds to my deadlift a year was a good year of lifting, like literally 5 pounds a year. And it's just like, I wish I knew that earlier on in my career, because, I think for people to hear like, what, you're excited because you added like 3 reps to that lift, like what's wrong with you? But it's like, as you become an advanced lifter, that's what you have to look forward to. It's like, that's what happens. If I've always said, like, if you added 10 pounds to your bench press every single month, then by the end of the year, you'd add 120 pounds to your bench press. And if you do that for 3 years in a row, like you're bench pressing more than most people bench press in their entire life. It's like, you're not going
to
add.
Yeah, now you're like ready to compete.
Yeah. Like you're a high level bench presser. If you're adding 10 pounds a month, every month for 3 years straight, like that's a well over 300 pound bench press. Like that's assuming you're starting from zero before. It's like, right. You're probably benching at least the bar. So, I mean, it's,
Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. You know, I talk about that I have a book for intermediate and advanced lifters called Beyond Bigger, Leaner, Stronger. And there's a chapter where I'm just kind of laying it out. Like, look, the theme, really the dominant theme of being an intermediate and beyond weightlifter is you have to work a lot harder now for a lot less. And I could not say that. And I could make all kinds of grandiose claims about my methods and with my techniques, but no, that's just the home truth. Unfortunately, that's the thing that most people, they don't want to hear at first, but if you can come to terms with it, you're going to really, set yourself up for long-term success, because we're talking about right expectations. And like you just said, some people might hear what a 4 month macro cycle to gain, and he's happy if he gained 3 or 4 reps on his 85%, you know? And I can say though, that now having a lot of firsthand experience and a lot of experience working virtually with intermediate and advanced weightlifters, that if we're talking natural weightlifting, like what you just said, gaining 5 pounds on your big lift when you're already very strong is like a cause for celebration, and bringing that down to a macro cycle, that if I would say, and I talk about this in the book, that I think a very viable and productive attitude is any progress is progress. And, you know, could you have done better? Maybe. But if you progressed in a macro cycle, if your 1RMs, if all of your big 1RMs went up, but if even only if 1 or 2 went up, and even if they only went up a little bit and you didn't move backward, then you've done well. Maybe you could do better. But I think that, and again, that's something I talk about in that book, before I get into programming and the program itself, is I just really want people to have the right expectations, because the wrong expectations can lead to disappointment. It can lead to steroid use. I know a lot of people now, I mean, just having worked with so many people, and I'm sure you've seen this many times, where people, they experience the newbie gains, they love it, and then they get into their intermediate phase, things start to slow down. Eventually they get stuck. They don't understand why. They don't understand what to do. They look around on social media and they see all these super jacked, shredded, strong guys who claim to be natural. And, you know what I mean? And eventually it leads to them trying anabolics, and then they feel like newbies again. And then it's hard to get off, and there's psychological issues and blah, blah, blah.
It's super common. It's more common than I think most people realize. Especially because a lot of the people who do it don't actually look like they do it, which is one of the comical parts of it. Yeah. I have one more thing to say before I say this one last thing. I have a interjection I just want to put in here for everyone listening. If you want to try some of Legion supplements, there'll be a link in the show notes that will be able to save you 20% off your first order. I've spoken about Mike before and Legion Athletics on this podcast, and I've said one of the main reasons that I support Mike and I promote Legion is because I really like him. I like him. I support him. And hopefully now you can see why I like Mike so much. And I support him because he's very honest. He's very straightforward. He doesn't sugarcoat it. And so hopefully now, after hearing me mention him in YouTube videos and in podcasts and on Instagram, in the inner circle a lot, like hopefully you can see why I'm a big fan of Mike and Legion. So that link is in the show notes if you want to go to Legion and save 20% on your first order. The last thing I want to say, Mike, maybe I could have you on again to talk more about different supplements, because I know there's a lot we didn't discuss, but I just have to let you know, the cinnamon cereal whey protein powder unbelievably good. It's like,
I stopped using anything else. Like, that's it. I just use that. my way.
Cinnamon cereal is unbelievable. I personally, for me, the fruity cereal is a close second, because that's a huge Fruity Pebbles fan, and it literally tastes exactly like Fruity Pebbles. My fiance, she hates the fruity cereal one. She like absolutely hates it, but she's obsessed with cinnamon cereal. Like if we only have two bottles left, she's like, can you order more? Because she knows it's going to be gone soon. So like the cinnamon cereal one is like, I don't know how you've done that, but it literally tastes exactly like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And I know when most people say like, oh yeah, it tastes exactly like this, it doesn't, but wow, like it actually does.
Yeah, I give all the credit to the Flavor Lab on that one. Those guys and gals are wizards. A lot of that is art, not science. Like, you can't go to school for that. You have to be trained by somebody who's good at it, and you have to have the right palate. And so we've worked with quite a few Flavor Labs over the years, and we found one that is just outstanding. And they're the ones who did both, actually, of the cereal flavors. And we have a couple more cereal flavors coming, actually. I believe we have like a cocoa kind of cereal, which is it's a bit different than just our standard chocolate. And I believe there's a honey kind of bunch of take on Honey Bunches of Oats coming as well. But those are okay. Also my two.
I like that.
Oh, you know what? You know what? Have you tried salted caramel?
Yes. Yeah, I do like salted caramel.
I do like that. I do like that as well. I figured that we seem to have like similar palates.
And
yeah. And so what I'll do is sometimes I'll mix. So if I'm gonna do two scoops, sometimes I'll do a scoop of the salted caramel and the cinnamon cereal.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Also something that I've been doing that is kind of weird, but I like it, is I'll take a scoop of the Vanilla Plant Plus, which is pea protein and rice protein, for anybody just curious what's in it. And it's 25 grams of protein per scoop and basically no carbs and no fat, which is pretty cool. So I'll take a scoop of that, and then I'll take a scoop of the cinnamon cereal whey, and then I mix it with I don't like measure the water, but it's a few ounces of water, just enough, and I start stirring it so it turns into kind of like a frosting kind of consistency. And then I'll eat it kind of like frosting or like pudding. And so that's just another
that's what I do.
I want to, it makes it fun to eat it, you know.
That's what I do with the casein powder.
Casein's good for that too. Yep.
The casein powder is great. Like, I've always been a fan of casein for like pudding style protein, and it's really, really good. I get the chocolate casein powder, and I really like that a lot.
Yep, I've done that as well. And then I, for whatever reason, gravitated toward the plant protein. But anyway, yeah, I agree. And for anybody, also, I should just I'll quickly interject. If anybody wants to try any of Legion's stuff, you should also know that we have a very simple money back guarantee. And that is, If you are trying something for the first time and you don't like it, you just let us know and we give you your money back and that's it. Or we'll send you something else if you want that, or if you want a store credit, we're happy to do that. But there are no forms to fill. There are no hoops to jump through. You don't even have to send the stuff back to us. Like, we often ask people if, you know, hey, okay, like, let's say somebody is like, I'm doing it, I'm trying cinnamon cereal and it's not for them, then just, again, let us know, we'll give you your money back or send you something else, and you can just keep it, and maybe you know somebody who might like it, give it to them. And that also just, you know, low friction, and it's kind of just one of those points of doing business how I would want, that's how I want to be treated as a consumer. I want to be given the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to try to take advantage of anything, and why make me go through unnecessary rigmarole to just try something else or just get my money back if it didn't work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So again, if you want to give a shot, try Legion supplements, the link is in the show notes to 20% off. If you're in the inner circle, we have a special link. So if you're in the inner circle, make sure you use the inner circle link, because at the end of every month, we pick one inner circle member who uses this link to get 6 free Legion supplements shipped directly to your front door. So if you're in the inner circle, make sure you use the inner circle link. If you're not in the inner circle, use the link in the show notes here to save 20% on your first order. And Mike, man, this has been, I think, the longest podcast I've ever done. But there's so much more we could cover. Thank you so much for taking the time, and hopefully I can have you on again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks again for the opportunity.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. They've been helping a ton. Seriously, massively, massively helping. And if you'd like to get 20% discount on your first order at Legion Athletics, you can use the link in the description of the show notes. Have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you soon.